Well, it really couldn't be the year of the more if we didn't talk about more and bigger harvest. Can I have an amen? Smile at somebody and say, this is your year for the best harvest you've ever had. And I want you to go with me over in Mark chapter 4. We're spending a good amount of time in this chapter. And I just want to read the parable itself. And scripture says again, Jesus in verse 1 began to teach by the lake, and the crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in out on the lake. And while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge, why did he do that? Because the positioning of the boat in the water amplified his sound to those that were actually hearing. How many know we got a better way of doing it now than that? Amen. Amen. Join us on the shores of the Kentucky Lake and Pastor will preach. Amen. And have a baptism already. Amen. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, listen, and that is the key there. Highlight that, star, underline, whatever you have to do. That's the key here is listen. A farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so they did not bear grain. Still others, other seed fell on good soil. Say, that's me. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, 60, and 100 times. Anybody here interested in a 30, 60, or 100-fold harvest in your life? Can I see your hands again? You'd like to see 30, 60, and 100-fold.
Yes.
Well, just to be blunt, this is what the teaching is. This is what Jesus said, so it's possible. Make up your mind right now, not let any religious person talk you out of what Jesus promised you could have. Now, there are parameters and principles you have to hold to here to experience that, but I'm glad it's attainable. It's not here by accident. It's here for us to have faith and act on it. In fact, I want you to understand as we talk about the core teaching here, the concept of seed. Every living thing in this earth comes through seed, plants, animals, human beings. And the earth is a reflection of the kingdom of God, where the harvest depends on the sowing of the seeds. Now say that boldly, my harvest depends on the sowing of my seeds. Say it again, it's the seed. This is the vital kingdom of God revelation. And without this, you can't understand anything regarding the kingdom of God or other principles or even other revelation from the word of God. Listen to what Jesus said. Then he said, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. When he was alone, the twelve and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But for those on the outside, everything is said in parables so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. Then Jesus said to them, don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? How will you understand anything I am teaching if you don't get this particular principle down? And here's the point. He's saying that this principle of seed time and harvest, this kingdom principle, is the key. It is the secret to the kingdom of God. It is the secret to accessing the kingdom of God in the future, and it's the key to accessing the kingdom of God now. Look at somebody and say, seed is the key. It's the secret. Everything comes through seed. Everything. You and I right now are a product of the seeds that we have sown. And if you don't like your harvest, all you have to do is start changing the seed. And by the way, we could also start believing God for crop failure for all the dumb seeds we have sown. Anybody with a raised hand ever sown a dumb seed before? A stupid seed. Everything, the secret is everything comes through seed. It comes through sowing. Jesus said this in Luke 13 from the same parable from a different version here in Luke's version. that he said, how can I picture God's kingdom for you? What kind of story can I use? It's like an acorn that a man plants in his front yard. It grows into a huge oak tree with thick branches and eagles builds its nest in. That's a message. Other translations talk about the mustard seed and how great it grows and begins to house the birds of the air. Again, we're talking about it came from what? It came from a seed. In Mark chapter 4, 26 through 29, he says this, this is what the kingdom of God is like. Pay attention when you hear phrases like, this is what the kingdom of God is like, because this is how it operates. And if we don't understand that, then we can't operate and receive what God has for us because we have failed to understand what it is, how it functions, how we tap into it. And he goes on to say this, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed. Shout that word seed out three times.
Seed, seed, seed,
seed. Seed on the ground, night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. And as soon as the grain is ripe, he puts a sickle to it because the harvest has come. And how do you understand? The seed knows exactly what to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. In Galatians 6, 7, we understand this from the J.B. Phillips translation. A man's harvest in life will depend entirely on what he sows. You and I have been trained in this generation of entitlement and backbiting and division and schism that somehow somebody else is to blame for what I have in my life. Say that with me, a man's harvest in life will depend entirely upon the seeds that he has sown. Scripture says before that, God cannot be mocked. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. Now, if you're like me, you grew up thinking this in the negative. Boy, I'm going to get it now. I sowed something stupid, now look out. Yeah, it works in the negative, but it also works out in the positive. The promises and the goodness of God tapped into because you're actually sowing seeds that reproduce after their own kind and end up giving you Bible results and Bible victories. Can I have an amen? Shout that out one more time. A man's harvest in life will depend entirely upon the seeds that he has sown. So it didn't take us long to figure out, you know, that if we adjust our sowing, we can adjust our lives.
Amen.
But you're going to have to lose this victim mentality, entitlement mentality. Woe is me. Look what they did. Look how they treated me. I was raised on the wrong side of the tracks. I was raised underneath the tracks. And find out today, by revelation, that it's what you do with heavenly seed that determines your course in this life. In other words, nobody can stop you. Come on, smile, look at somebody and say, nobody can stop you. Why? Because it's between you and God and the seed of the Word of God and your own heart. It's not outside of you. God's provision of seed has already solved the problem, for example, if people would understand this, of diversity, equity, and inclusion. Man's solution is to use socialistic approaches to try to solve these things, but you and I can grow beyond any limitation with seed. It doesn't matter if we started out behind other people. It doesn't matter if other people started out ahead of us and had certain incentives or benefits. I am telling you that the seed of God is the great equalizer. And as long as you believe somebody owes you something or somebody needs to fix this or somebody needs to provide this, somebody needs to make up the difference here, you're missing the point. The cross, we've often said, is a great equalizer, and the seed of God causes everyone to be on an equal footing, but not everyone does the same thing with the seed. It's just so much easier to play the victim card. Are you here today? Put it to you like this. No matter what your color is, your nationality, your culture, your background, where you're from, where you start in life, you can remove every limitation with seed. Now, to the extent you believe that and act on it, you'll see amazing things in your life. We owe a great debt of gratitude for people like Bill Winston, Creflo Dollar, and others, Leroy Thompson, who have taught not just the black community, but the body of Christ these principles. And what's happened is they have led people in their congregation and their community to unprecedented wealth building and victory and success and education because they taught them their destiny is tied to what they do with the seed, not what some other man did. What a blessing that is. But you know, you don't have to be from a certain background or have a certain color of skin to be trapped by wrong thinking about these things. Are you here today? We don't need man using racism to fight racism. We don't need man using past discrimination to justify present discrimination. We don't need socialism because we've got a seed bag. Yes, amen. The nature of socialism, as I take the harvest from somebody else, from the seed they have sown, because I don't have it, instead of learning how to sow and reap myself. This is a clear violation of spiritual law. Say it with me. Everybody in this room can sow themselves to a great future. Hear me. Well, I don't look good enough, and I'm not young enough, or I don't have enough hair, or I don't have the right skin, or I'm not handsome enough. You know what? Seed can't see. Seed can't tell if you're black, white, polka dot. It can't tell if you're male or female, tall or short. A head of hair, no hair. Ugly or pretty. Seed don't care. Ugly folk can get a harvest too. One time Creflo was talking about, you know, being ugly babies in his community on his street. And somebody said to him from the congregation, there are no ugly babies. He said, there are in my neighborhood. Shout it out. Seed can't see. All it knows is if it's planted correctly, it's going to produce a harvest 30, 60, and 100-fold. And it's not going to pop up and see your ugly self and go back in the ground. It doesn't work that way. Yes, amen. The sower sows the word. The word is the seed. And it's never the problem. Ever. And it's never God that's the problem. So that leaves one factor. Selah. Some of y'all said, I don't have to think about it. I know exactly. The condition of the soil, however, is always the problem. That's why Scripture says to guard your heart, for it is what? It is where the issues of life spring forth from. The problem is not the seed or the seed giver. It is the condition of the soil. If you and I can maintain the correct type of soil, we can have 30, 60, and 100-fold. And Moses indicates we can have 1,000-fold. Some of you are thinking, right now I'd use a double. One point in time, Jerry Savelle was sowing, and he wasn't seeing himself reap like he needed for, you know, in that ministry. And he prayed to God and said, God, just match me dollar for dollar at this point. And some of you felt like that. The seed works. The question is, the variable is, what is the condition of the soil any given day? And when I say soil, I mean the condition of the human heart. Amen. The parable teaches us that the singular goal of the enemy is to get you to stop sowing word seed and let go of the seed you've sown because he knows that your destiny and your victory are tied to your sowing. You feel subtle pressure not to read, not to pray, not to sit under the word. That's the enemy trying to keep you from sowing. Your future is tied to this book as a child of God. Heaven and earth will pass away. My word will what? Never pass away. This seed will never pass away. It'll never be compromised. It'll never be shut down. It'll never be irrelevant in our lives. And he's very good at doing that. Amen. I want to say just a few things about the nature of this seed. You know that the seed is the Word of God. Shout it out. The seed is the Word of God. Anything you need can be grown with this seed. Anything. A sower sows the Word. The Bible is your seed bag. Well, I don't got a seed bag. You probably have 15 of them at home. You don't read. Thank you for your enthusiasm over that revelation. Say, the Bible is my seed bag. Everyone in this room has access to seed. That's not the case around the world. We have underground churches in China where they get just a piece of a page of a Bible. And they think they died and gone to heaven. Precious is that seed. And some of them are getting more victory with that little bit of seed than you and I who've had full measure of the Word of God, broadcast, television, amen, internet, publications, books, freedom, and we're still not bearing much fruit. So what is it? It doesn't take a lot of seed to transform an entire culture. But it's the condition of the heart. I saw videos. I know people who go over there and distribute Bibles. One of the main missions years ago was to introduce the Fire Bible in Mandarin and take it over there to the house churches, especially the leaders, and get them not only the Word of God, but the notes that go with the Spirit-filled life. And I saw videos from some of these pastors that actually did this, and it was very, very risky for them to do this. And they unbox those boxes, and they'd hand them out, and they're wrapped in cellophane, and they'd take that cellophane off very carefully, and they'd hold that Bible up, and they would smell that Bible, and they'd pet that Bible, and here you and me, we have everything. No wonder they're getting results from the seed they're sowing. There's great honor and respect and appreciation for that word. God gives us, give us again, a high view of Scripture can have an amen. The highest view of the Word of God. The seed is supernatural. That's why anything can be grown with it. It's supernatural, for the Word of God is living and active, Hebrews says, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. I like the scripture in Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of my seed bag, for it is the power of God unto salvation to them that what? That believe. You see, that potential is tapped through the process of believing what you're actually hearing. When I tell you that the key to the kingdom of God is sowing seed, you've got to actually what? Believe it. And then act on the thing that you actually say that you believe. The seed is not just supernatural, it's incorruptible. There's not one dud seed in this bag. Amen. Not one. It's incorruptible. Being born again, the Bible says, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. And not a dud in here. In other words, the Word's not the problem. And you say, I don't know if I can do what you're talking about. If you're saved, you already have. Raise your hand if you're born again. Yeah. I didn't say perfect, I said born again. Yeah. You have already, through this principle and process, grown, amen, through the Word of God, into something that's called a new creation in Scripture. That process is repeated over and over again, tapping into various promises and provisions of God. It works the same way through the incorruptible seed of God's Word. The seed always produces. Say that with me. But the seed always produces. Some of you think, well, not for me, it didn't work. Well, you didn't really wait on it now, did you? I marvel at people who spend their lives outside of the will of God, and then they want God to fix this in 1 week. It's not going to happen. If you stay at it, though, you'll see God turn that thing around. I believe God can turn it around. Scripture says in Isaiah 55, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts and your thoughts. As the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth." Where'd it come from? God's mouth. "It will not return to me empty or void, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." This refers to word seed, and it always accomplishes what God intended it for to accomplish in your life. Amen. Say it with me. Not a single dud,
not a single dud.
In the whole bag.
In the whole bag.
Amen. I remember one time we were messing around with firecrackers. You know, my dad hated those things because he knew actually how unstable they were and what goes into those things. And even if they're stable, they're dangerous, but you never know what those companies overseas are throwing in there. And so, I remember one time we were out in the back, we were playing with some black cats and some M8s and whatnot, and having all kinds of fun blowing stuff up. Don't look at me with that holy tone. And you ever hear somebody say, if you light a firecracker and it doesn't go off, don't approach it? Yeah. Oh, not us. Oh, no. And I remember the last word somebody said as I picked up one that appeared to be a dud. I picked it up, and guess what happened? Wham! It was not a dud. Some of you need to be reminded there's not a dud in the bag. And if you just hang in there, it's going to go off. Amen? It's going to produce in your life. Do you believe that today?
Yes.
I do. I believe it. It's also, the seed is the gift of God for self-determination. In Genesis 1:29, God said, "Beloved, I give you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree which is the fruit of a tree, yielding seed to you, for it shall be meat." We're given seed as a gift in Genesis to determine our harvest and destiny and life. But if you don't believe it, it won't work for you. If you don't sow it, it won't work for you. The Christian seed bag is the Word of God. Why do you think the Word of God is under such attack in the world today? Undermine its integrity, trying to tell you it's man-made and man-authored. It is not. It is supernaturally given, amen, and it's supernaturally understood. Amen. Say it with me. It's a gift.
Yes.
The fact that you have a seed bag, you've been given a gift. Now, what you do with it is entirely up to you. I'm in a position now, I want to see more and greater harvest in life.
Amen.
Amen. How about you?
Yeah.
The seed is spiritual and always brings life. Say it, always. Brings life. John 6:63, "It is the spirit that quickens, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Can I have an amen today?
Amen.
Say it, they are spirit and they are life.
Yeah.
Always brings life because they're spiritual. And next here, the seed does nothing until planted. It must have soil and the right kind of soil to actually grow. You've heard this in 2 Corinthians 9:6. "He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also what? Reap bountifully." Nothing's going to happen if you're not sowing. And sowing generously. And sowing with great enthusiasm. Say it, I'm a happy sower.
I'm a happy
sower. Say it with me, I'm a sower, not a part-time planner. You know, Christians all over the world hardly ever open up this book. But the ones that do and apply it see great victories in their life. Not perfect lives. They're not fighting in a bubble where everything is just perfect, but they're seeing victories because they have learned that the seed is the key to the kingdom of God. Amen. Say it. Anybody in this room using the seed of God's word can provide a great future and a great hope. Amen. You need to understand, though, that the seed has a pattern and a process to it. It shouldn't be a surprise to you. You reap if you sow. Here's a revelation that's got rocket science written all over it. If you don't sow, you won't reap. Amen. Not in your spiritual lives, not in your walk with God, not in your relationships. Not in your finances. If you don't sow, you're not going to reap. in the realm of finances, that limits you to what you can do. I'm telling you, we're entering a time in this world where you're going to need more than what you can do. But guess what? You only reap if you sow. You reap after you sow. Some of y'all want to reap before you sowed anything. It doesn't work that way. Say it, I reap if I sow. I reap after I sow. Third, you reap what you sow. There's that negative thing for me too. You're going to reap what you sow. Well, as a Christian, if you understand this and you've been sowing the Word of God and doing what God's told you to do, you're giving, you're tithing, amen, you're spending time with the Word of God, you're confessing the Word of God, you're blessing people, you're honoring God's Word, you should be happy with that scripture. Yeah. Say it with me, I'm going to reap what I've sown. At some point in time, that should stop being negative to you. Right. Now, believe me, there's some people in this world that are going to reap what they've sown. Yep. But you're on this side of glory, can have it, amen, today. You reap what you sow. You know, the farmer comes out here in the back and he wants to grow corn. What does he have to do? He's not going to grow corn in Mr. if you have a field of wheat out there. And it's the same thing for the believer. And then last, you reap more than you sow. That's a good place to get excited. Because God doesn't pay a dollar for a dollar. Out of the mouth of Jesus, 30, 60, and a hundredfold. Come on, shout that out. 30, 60, and a hundredfold. So again, there's nothing wrong with a seed going to have an amen. What's the problem? The problem is the condition of the soil. And how many believe today if there's an issue in your own heart, you can resolve it and get going, planting and reaping, amen. Going back to now the interpretation of this in verse 14, the farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. We talk about this as being the path soil heart. This is where the path is where the seed is actually sown, thrown onto the path. You know, in our vernacular, thrown onto the concrete. Nothing's going to grow there. Can I have an amen? You need to understand that as soon as the word is being heard, Satan comes to steal the word. He is always present and active when the word is being preached. Right now, your heart could be, in fact, like that path. Right now, you could be a victim of the devil's theft. God's trying to give you keys to victory and a future that is supernatural. But right here in this room, you could be missing it completely. Because you're physically here, the light's on, but nobody's home. He comes to church with us every week. Where's he sitting, Pastor? He's a thief. In fact, the most valuable thing that the thief can steal from your life is the Word of God. Because then you don't have any good seed in the ground. You're not going to see any kind of harvest. Wherever the word is preached, wherever you're exposed to the word of God, he'll be there trying to keep you from actually receiving that word. Has anybody here ever had the occasion where you're in the arena reading the word of God and all of a sudden there's an interruption? Well, that's just life. It's not just life. It's the enemy trying to do things, amen, so you'll just have like a path heart and never begin to see a harvest in your life. He's a master at doing that. Anybody here ever sit down to pray and everything in the world came to your mind? Yes. Amen? If you're praying, it's a good idea to turn off devices. Because if there's a way to interrupt that, he will do it. Say, he's a thief. And his primary goal is to steal the seed from the heart. He does this, he steals the word by trampling on that seed with so many influences, so many voices out there, so many competing ideas. I tell you, look at somebody and tell them, stick to the word of God. I'm telling you, don't get your theology off of YouTube or TikTok. Trust the Holy Spirit is your teacher. Open up the word of God and believe what he says. Amen. He steals the word by distraction. How many know that's the truth? It never fails in every service I've ever been in. There are distractions. Amen. This isn't a point of contention or condemnation. It's just, I'm telling you, doors slamming, babies crying, cups being knocked over, people moving, people stirring, up and down. And somebody asked me one time, Pastor, how do you preach with that going on? Well, there's an anointing there to focus on what I'm supposed to, because if I get distracted, amen. That's just people. That's just life. It's amazing. The same people who come to church for a 45-minute message can't sit still, but they'll sit through 3 hours of Lord of the Rings without moving. Now, you have a physical problem, that's one thing. You got to go. But I've watched people literally prompted by the enemy right at a time when somebody's heart's being dealt with, right before an altar call or something like that, and then boom, and all of a sudden, instead of focusing on the word, what are people doing? They're focused on that particular distraction. It is not an accident. Some of you are thinking, I was going to get up, and now, bless God, I ain't getting up for nothing. I'm telling you that right now. Bless God. When I was a kid, their mom and dad in Lutheran church and four kids, and we didn't make a peep. We were terrified. And it wasn't terrified of God. And that's all I'm going to say about that. You do what you train yourself to do. But what's the devil trying to do? Why would I want to be the devil's tool to distract somebody else from receiving the life-giving seed of the Word of God? Why would I do that? Like, I love people. I want them to go out to get the answer. Well, I don't really care about people. It's just, it's all about me. When I come here, you know, I'm receiving, bless God. And if I need to do something, I'll just do it. Who cares about other people? You should care about other people. You should want them to succeed. Amen. Amen. But the devil will do everything he can to distract you. Everything. And it's not, people aren't even sometimes conscious of this. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get up right as the altar call is given to make a big fuss. That's not how this works. They're impressions. They're, instigations. You know, they're promptings, and not all the promptings are of the Holy Ghost. Some of those promptings are of the evil one. Amen. How many believe that there are angels among us? Do you believe that?
Yes.
Is that scriptural?
Yes.
Sure is. How many other demons among us too?
Yes.
So we're like, amen. See, they value the word sometimes more than we do. They value it enough to try to block your heart from receiving it. You should be so dialed in, and no devil, no demon, no human being, no distraction going to keep you from getting the word planted in your heart. Can I have an amen? He steals the word by religion. As soon as the word comes forth and there's your religious tradition, it just bounces off because, well, that's not what I always heard. That's not what Grandpa always said, blah, 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 blah. It doesn't make any difference. How many of you found out that Mom and Dad and Grandma and Grandpa can be wrong?
Yeah.
Moving right along. He steals the word by offense. It's impossible for the bitter, offended, unforgiving Christian to sit in a service and have any seed sown into their heart. It's not possible. He steals the word by apathy. I just don't really care about that spiritual stuff. I'm just here, because somebody drugged me to church or whatever the case may be. Well, that's good. But at some point in time, you should want to benefit from the life-changing revelations going forth.
Amen.
Amen. He steals the word by pride. Sometimes folks get to the place where they can't receive anything else, and that blocks them from having that life-changing word invested into their heart, into their life. I've seen this so many times, I can't even count. Somebody gets to a certain point in their life, and they can't receive anymore. You know what? They're more spiritual now. They know more than Wilma. They know more than Rodney. They know more than Tim. They know more than their pastor, and they can't receive from that. And every single time I've watched this happen, it ends up in nothing but destruction. Because pride goes before what? And a haughty spirit before what? Listen, it's very important for you to make sure you come here and say, I'm teachable, I'm pliable, I'm correctable. Amen. Say it with me, I am teachable, I am pliable, I am correctable. Say it with a smile, I'm teachable, I am pliable, I am correctable. How is anything going to get into your heart when you know everything already? The mark of spiritual maturity is not how much you know, it's your humility. Well, obviously, this kind of soil is not going to produce much because the seed is not there. The second type he describes as rocky soil. He says, others like seed sown on rocky places hear the word and at once receive it with joy. They get a glimpse of what this could do in their life, what life could be like. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Another translation says, they immediately are offended. They heard the word and received it with joy. Somebody told them God has a plan for their life, a future and a hope. Hallelujah. Somebody told them they were the head and not the tail, above only, not beneath. Amen. Somebody told them they could be the healed, the delivered, and the prosperous. And they got excited over that.
Yeah.
And the word got in there and began to grow. But with the word comes the thing called trouble. And persecution. Whenever word goes in, persecution and trouble are going to follow. Isn't that good news today? Why would I want to sow something that's going to cause me trouble? Because you'll have more trouble if you don't. More defeat if you don't. You need to know that the seed going into your heart is a beacon for the enemy to try to come steal, kill, and destroy. In this case, what he does, he sees this plant starting to grow, and here comes the persecution, here comes the trouble, and basically what happens is those folks are dealing with circumstances or setbacks or challenges, and they lose the way, and they give up. I have seen people do this. I've seen entire families do this. Well, that faith stuff doesn't work, you know. Faith don't work. No, faith works. We tried that mess and it doesn't work. No, faith tried you and you didn't work because the seed is incorruptible. Don't ever let yourself say there's a problem with God or His Word or faith or the Word of God. There's nothing wrong with that. What happened was here came some trouble. You thought you'd sow on Monday and reap on Tuesday and it didn't happen. What you got was trouble. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you got trouble. And now you're put out. And I've watched this through the years. He is very good at what he does. Some folks have the word stolen immediately. Other folks have the word pounded out of their lives by trouble and persecution. I'm in a church here today where the people are tougher than that. I said I'm in a house of God where people are tougher than that. Trouble, persecution, garbage going on. People talking ugly about you, undercutting you, undermining you, stabbing you in the back. Amen. You believe in God and here comes another bill. You believe in God for healing. Here comes another symptom, but you don't quit. You hang in there.
Yeah.
Say it. I cannot be defeated and I will not quit.
Woo! I will not quit.
I'm just telling you that's what happens when you sow seed for a healing. Guess what happens?
You get healing.
Woo! But first you get worse. I'm going to keep going here until I drill through the wood.
All right.
You're all excited about sowing your finances, going to believe God to get out of debt, and four more, five things happen. All of a sudden, you got outlays, things you intended to pay off, you know, pay off debt with. Now you have to spend towards some medical situation or some other problem. And you're thinking, I just sowed a seed. I've been tithing now for a whole year, and I've been sowing my seed. I'm so excited. I'm a happy tither, just like Pastor says. And it ain't working. Oh, it's working. But the devil's pounding. And at some point in time, you learn if you'll just hang in there and keep being faithful, that seed will produce. You can't stop it. It's incorruptible. It's indestructible. It's supernatural. It's going to work in your life. But you cannot back up on it. Amen. You got to be like Bartimaeus. Shut up. You're bothering the master. And what did he do? He had a seed sown. He heard about this Messiah. And when they told him to shut up, what did he do? He cried out all the more, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. The same people that told him to shut up, come on, cheer up, he's calling you. Hypocrites. Yeah, we knew it. We knew it all along. Jesus was going to call this guy. And when he gets there, he says, what do you want me to do? I want to see. And what did Jesus do? Boom. Look at somebody and say, you need the spirit of Bartimaeus when it comes to the Word of God. And just like Tyler was saying today, when you're in that mode, you're planting the seed for healing, for victory, for finances, for deliverance, for guidance, for wisdom, whatever it is you're sowing towards, you keep your eyes on that Word and not on the problems, the obstacles, the circumstances. Because we walk by faith and not by what? Senses. How you feel, what you see, what you hear. All that stuff. Amen? Yes, amen. Amen. It's just the bottom line. I've never seen any exception to this rule. Everybody I have known who said, I'm going to walk the walk of faith. I'm not going to be just religious. I'm going to take God at His word. I'm going to press in. I'm going to believe I receive. I don't know anybody that's not been hammered for doing that. Right. And the novice says, well, what's the incentive for being hammered? It's what comes after that. I've also noticed that when people have not given up, the devil attacked their family and their health and their money and their house. He's attacked everything that they've got, and they wouldn't give up on God's word. What's that called? It's called honor. I've watched 8, 9, 10, 12, 14 years later, all of a sudden that same person who wouldn't quit is living a life they only dreamed of. Victory on every hand. They press through, and all of a sudden now great things are happening in their life. You can't be in this for the trial period. I'm going to try it for 3 weeks and see if it works. No, you've got to be in it for the long haul. Come on, shout out this faith stuff. It worketh because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the incorruptible seed. Glory to God. Amen. You just stay with it. You won't have to advertise. It'll be very plain that you are one that didn't quit. Refused to give up. Amen. Yes, amen. Then there's the thorny heart, the thorny soil. Scripture says, till others like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Isn't that a shame? So I've got incorruptible seed, but I've got a heart that's dealing with weeds and thorns. I heard the word, but the word was choked out by competing and destructive weeds. When you're believing God and the word's going in, you got to watch out for things like fear, like worry or fearful meditation in your life. Say, I've been delivered from the spirit of fear. Shout out, I've been delivered from the spirit of fear. You can have idolatry weeds, like things focus so much on things and money and power and wealth and possessions that you miss the whole point. We don't serve things. We serve God with things. And when you mess that up, you're going to have a hard time producing the crop in your life. And I'll tell you, the devil will love to get you worried. In the middle of your faith battle, in the middle of sowing the seed, and things are going well, he'll do whatever he can to get you in a place of worry, into fear, get you into a place of idolatry, or get you into a place of lust or wrong desires and wrong pleasures. These are weeds. And what they do is they choke the word and they compromise the harvest. I can just break this down as simple as I can. If you're sowing the word of God in and then walking out of here worrying nonstop, you're not going to have a harvest. And it's not going to be because the word doesn't work. You walk out of here, you're sowing the word of God into your life, and then you begin to have idols in your life, things you put before God, it's not going to work. You walk out of here after hearing the word of God planted deeply into your heart, and you begin to believe God for a harvest, more harvest in this year of the more. And you walk out and there are things that compromise in your life that you're doing with your mind and your meditation and your body. It's not going to work. You're not going to live filthy and have a harvest.
That's true. That's right.
Let me say that again. You're not going to live filthy and have a godly harvest. It is a thorn, it is a weed that will choke out the word of God in your life. When you're doing this, you got to make sure that your meditation is pleasing to God. The words of your mouth are pleasing to God. Your behavior is pleasing to God. I want you to understand that great harvests happen in the context of unprecedented holiness. And there should have been at least one amen. After all, we have a holiness background. Or maybe that's all it is now, is a background. It's in the context of holiness that reaping works best. You know, you can look at Brother Savelle, and I'm thankful God sent him to this earth and used him, and we got the fellowship with him. He came here to minister. Thank God for his example. But I want to tell you something. He sowed and he reaped and he believed God. Amen. Constantly sowing the word of God, constantly serving others. But I'm going to tell you something about that man. That man lived a holy life before God. And there are a lot of Christians that want to blame it. Well, that faith stuff doesn't work, but they don't want to stop doing the things they're doing. And you are not going to party and toke and smoke and drink and run around and be illicit, amen, and God somehow miraculously give you a harvest. Lust, these things will choke out the word of God. Amen. So whenever you're believing God for something, it's very, very important for you to do what? Ask the Holy Spirit to search your heart. What's in there? Pride. Arrogance, bitterness, unforgiveness, things you're doing with your mind, with your heart, with your body, and stop doing them. Amen.
Amen.
If for no other reason, do it so you can have the victory that God wants you to have.
Amen.
There are a lot of people in the holiness tradition, they lived holy, but they had no revelation on seed time and harvest. So they didn't receive. Why? Because my people are destroyed for what? Lack of knowledge. But there are a lot of people who understand these things, but also have to add to it a life that is circumspect before the Lord. Say it, a pure mind,
a pure heart,
a pure body. Say it,
I consecrate
my mind. Come on, take your hand like that and say, I consecrate my mind, consecrate my ears, consecrate my eyes, consecrate my mouth, consecrate my feet, consecrate my body. That's the context and the atmosphere for great harvests. If you preach holiness, you should also tell people there's a great reward for it. And there is. Amen. Well, I just can't help it. Yeah, you can. Amen. There's righteousness now inside of you, forcing you, pushing you towards doing what is right. Amen. Those like the path have no harvest. Those like the rocky soil have no harvest. And those with a thorny heart or soil have no harvest. But there's good news. There's a fourth choice, a soil of a good heart. Listen to the scripture. Others like seed sown on good soil. Shout it out, say, that's me.
That is me.
Say it boldly, say, that's me.
That's me.
Say it again, that's me.
That's me.
Like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce the crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. Say, do you believe that? Yeah, actually I do. I've seen it in so many areas of life that the Word of God is true, but it requires a good heart. I want you to notice something, that all four types of people heard the same word. Amen? So every fourth person gets a harvest. You don't get any, you don't get any, you don't get any, she gets it all. You don't get any, you don't get any, you don't get any, he gets it all. I'm glad it didn't work that way. You get to choose what kind of soil you actually are. But I think it's important to point out that only 25% of the people got a harvest at all. That's not there by accident. So what we're going to do is make sure we understand what that means, you know, to have that good soil. Everything about the principles from these previous, you know, examples, applying that to your life. And then at the same time, understanding that you're going to have to do certain things with the Word of God. And the Bible describes this kind of person as someone who actually hears the Word of God. Say, here's the Word of God. With honor and with hearkening. You know what that is? When you're listening to a sermon, a teaching, you're not just passing time. You're listening for the command of God, the voice of the Spirit behind the Word. And you're listening for what you're supposed to do. Not just passively there, but God, what am I supposed to do? How do I apply this message to my life? In other words, I'm listening with an attitude to do whatever it is I just heard. I'm hearkening. Say, I am hearkening. You have a great respect for the Word of God. And you practice it because it nourishes and it protects that seed. Can I have an amen? But you just don't hear it. Hearing is not enough. Jesus described this. They hear and they hear and they hear, but they never fully understand. Second of all, they accept it. They believe and they receive it. Say, I'm a believer and I'm a receiver. You can't expect harvest from word seeds you don't believe. Said, but I'm a believer. You can't expect to have, you know, a harvest from word seeds you don't believe. They said, I am a believer. I'm a receiver. And then as you fix that in your heart, you persevere with your thoughts, with your words, with your actions, no matter what happens. In other words, the big difference between all of these different types of soil is one perseveres and the others do not. Do I have anybody in here that says, I'm not a quitter?
That's right. We are here.
Anybody say, I refuse to be a quitter?
I refuse to be a quitter.
Anybody ever quit before?
Yes.
You know, Jerry Seville used to talk about being a paint and body man, and he'd go to work for somebody, Chevrolet, you know, company with their patch on, you know, and their uniform. He'd get mad and quit. Then he'd go work, you know, for the Chrysler dealer, get mad and quit. Then go work for the Ford dealer, get mad and quit. And then go to another one and recycle the whole thing. He said, I was a master at quitting. And you've heard me tell this story, and I'll just tell it to you again to make an illustration of this point. But, you know, he was in some serious financial trouble. You think that this guy is a preacher, so everything was together. No, he starts just like the rest of us. And in his case, deeply in debt without a hope, without a prayer. And he just asked Brother Copeland one day, you know, I can believe God, understand how to believe God for healing and everything like that, but I just can't seem to believe God to meet my needs and fix my finances. And what Brother Copeland told him, he said, God's done everything he's going to do about your finances. And instead of what? Getting glad, he got mad. And he'd been listening to these reel-to-reel tapes. How many are old enough to remember those? Back before MP3s, back before CDs, back before cassettes, back before 8-tracks. Some young people are going, what's an 8-track? That's why you have Google. I will tell you this, so when you had an 8-track, you had four channels, that was it. You just couldn't skip to a particular song. Some of y'all are thinking, thank God I didn't live in the pilgrim days. Before 8-track was a reel to reel. And then they go from one reel through the player to the other reel, which would pick up, the spool would pick it up. And he got so mad that his messages, he went outside and he rolled the reel-to-reel down the road. And he enjoyed that so much, he got another one. He picked it up and he rolled it down the road. And the Holy Ghost said, there goes your answer right there. So there he is going down the road, winding these things back up again. And decided to persevere in the things that he heard. You know, not everybody goes out and, you know, throws tapes away, or rolls, you know, the message down the road like that. But a lot of people internally, mentally do the same thing. They give up before God has moved in their lives. Say it with me. I cannot be defeated.
I cannot be defeated.
And I will not quit.
I will not quit.
Said, I cannot be defeated.
I cannot be defeated.
And I will not quit. Say it like you believe it. I cannot be defeated.
I cannot be defeated.
And I will not quit.
And I will not quit.
You're not the first type of soil. You're not hard-hearted, can have an amen. You're not the second type of soul, amen, where you spring up with joy the possibilities of Scripture has, and then because you have no root and persecution, trouble comes, you just kind of wilt away. Say, that's not me.
That's not me.
You're not the third kind where the word is choked out of your life because of fears, amen, and idolatry and because of various lusts, amen. But you do what? You hear, you accept, believe, you retain it, and you persevere, and you get a 30, 60, and 100 fold. Say, that's mine.
That's mine.
Say, the 30, the 60, the 100 is mine in Jesus' name. And don't let anybody talk you out of it. You say, well, I don't believe in that stuff. That's up to you. But don't let somebody talk you out of what God said. As for me, we're going to believe God. Amen. Are you here today? Did you receive this? And you accept it in your heart today? Come on, stand and give the Lord a hand clap and thank Him for it.